question is this: how do we get two groups of people to come together? Those that are completely disengaged with what I call their personal physical health status, and those people who are in love with their physical health status and doing something about it. How do we bring them together so that everybody fits into the second category of falling in love with their physical health, lowering their risk of disease, and feeling amazing? We're going to find out in today's episode of The New Science of Physical Health. Hey everybody, thanks for coming back here to the daily drop of The New Science of Physical Health. Episode 100 and high 50s, okay? I haven't looked at the number today, so those of you who follow this series, you know, sometimes I look at the number, sometimes I don't. I know it's the high 150s. It could be 157, 158. I don't think it's 159. But anyway, that's what we're up to in today's episode number. Hey, here's a little treat for us today. I'm going to transition in just a moment to the introductory audio learning episode, audio program to the PE Teachers Health Coaching Lab. Now, it's not a health coaching lab for PE teachers. I'm the PE teacher, and I've created this platform based around our book that has quite a few different components or facets to the platform. That's why it's not just another course or another book, but it's a platform because it has a future-focused learning portal. It has health software that's clinically validated, and a whole bunch of other components that allow us to do this. Help teach people, children, teenagers, and adults, how to fall in love with being physically healthy, where the outcome is being physically healthy is the norm in the community that you live in, not the abnormal, which is what it is right now. I was talking to someone today who was 16 years of age, and I said this to them. I posed a question to them. I said, if you sat in a food court at a shopping center, most shopping centers around the world, malls, whatever you want to call them, they have a food court area. I said, sit down, watch 100 people walk past. How many of those people do you think, this is a 16-year-old boy, how many of those people do you think would be physically active on a daily basis on across a seven-day cycle? Let's say 5 of those 7 days. And he sat and said to me, he thought about it for a second, and he goes, probably about 50%. I said, not even close. I said, 15 of those 100, 15% at best will go and visit a gym or be involved with physical activity. I said, some others would do some kind of things like walking a dog, being involved in gardening, mowing the lawns, some recreational activity. And then I said, 63% of all adults and most communities around the world do zero physical activity on a daily basis, which means they have negative health adaptations and a linear correlation between the high risk of developing the two leading causes of sickness and death. So I created this PE Teachers Health Coaching Lab in order to help people fall in love with their physical health outcomes and what I call their personal physical health status. So here's what we're going to do. I've transitioned to now the introductory audio learning episode, but the episode is long, so I'm just going to, after about, I think it's about 10 or so minutes, 15 minutes, I'm going to end the episode, and we'll catch up with the rest of it tomorrow and the next day. So we break it up into some little components. So let's get on with it. And we'll transition now to the introductory episode of the PE Teachers Health Coaching Lab.
In the 80s, this young man graduated with a degree in health education. For the next 20 years of his life, that's what he spent his time doing for 7 of those years. I think it was 7. He was in National Heart Foundation of Australia. I never quite get that right, but we know what I'm talking about. You know the one with the tick, you know where you get the tick? And he spent a lot of his time there, is still closely associated with these people. He has a passion, and the passion is born from the pain and the trauma that he felt as a young man when a loved one, and he'll tell you the story, close to him, was taken by Australia's most prolific killer. And he'll spend a little time telling you on that. So he speaks from experience. Here today to help you discover the beat of your healthy heart. Will you please help me welcome to the stage one of Australia's leading heart health educators, Mr. Shane Stubbs. Thank you, Shane. Thank you, Shane. Thank you.
Thank you, Rob, and thank you, everybody, for coming along here this evening. You know, my role here, my function is to help you, as Rob said, to discover the beat of a healthy heart. And I've been doing this now for 20 years.
Welcome to this audio learning episode. My name is Shane Stubbs. I'm the creator and founder of the New Science of Physical Health. And that was a short excerpt from a speech I gave in Sydney, Australia to 2,000 people about 10 years ago. Since 1988, when I graduated with my Bachelor of Education in Health, Physical Education and Sports Science, I've taught, I can't even believe I'm going to say this, 34,000 lessons in those subjects. The past decade of my career has been the most fascinating of all. I am the only health and physical education teacher in the world that I know of. I belong to Facebook groups and other social media groups of over 500,000 people in that industry. But I'm the only one I know as a health and physical educator that have spent a decade interviewing, consulting with, speaking to, and working directly with over 100 PhDs in disciplines including cardiology, exercise physiology, public health, cognitive neuroscience, pediatrics, molecular biology, medicine, exercise, oncology, that's fascinating, and many more. I've made it my mission to take their complex and current medical research and convert it into 18 critical diagrams, 18 critical learning skills across 6 modules. If you're a person who is interested in learning the true science of how to be physically healthy and a set of specific steps on how to get people to fall in love with their physical health outcomes, especially that group of people which have low or no interest in their personal physical health status. In this audio program and the PE Teachers Health Lab, it will exactly share with you those specific steps. The first question I want to answer for everybody listening to this audio episode, why would a regular health and physical education teacher like me spend a decade chasing down the world's best PhDs in medicine and health sciences just to create another so-called health course? Well, the PE Teachers Health Lab is not a health course. As you will see throughout this episode, it's a platform. More about what I mean by a platform as we go through this episode. The first part of the answer, as you will see throughout this episode, is that it's not just another health course. And don't worry, I'll back that up with some evidence very shortly. The reason you're getting access to the PE Teachers Health Lab now is because of what happened way back to my family on November the 1st, of 1989 at 3 p.m. I'm going to transition to a short excerpt from a DVD I shot in the studio almost 10 years ago now. It's about 60 seconds long, and it will give you what I call my primary motivating factor for developing the PE Teachers Health Lab. Now, just before we transition to this DVD section, I want to point out that the PE Teachers Health Lab, the title of this platform, is not just for PE teachers. I am the creator of it. That's why I called it the PE Teachers Health Lab. But it's for anybody who wants to fall in love with becoming physically healthy for their lifetime. Children, teenagers, and adults. Okay, let's transition to now why I created this lab and my primary motivating factor.
On November the 1st of 1989, I took a phone call from my mother. And these are the three words she said. Love, Dad's died. It changed my world. He had a sudden heart attack and it was massive. The doctors later told my mother he passed away before he hit the ground. He was just 47 years old. There is a song by a musician called Jimmy Ruffin. It's called What Becomes of the Brokenhearted. Let's listen to the chorus, and the words go, what becomes of the brokenhearted? Who's had love that's now departed? I know I've got to find some kind of peace of mind, maybe. The purpose of this DVD learning series is to develop some peace of mind from our number one killer. One person every 10 minutes of every day in this country dies of a cardiovascular event. Most like my father, premature. Peace of mind for my family and peace of mind for your family. If I can help you to discover the beat of your healthy heart and you avoid a cardiac event, this will give me peace of mind.
Now you know why, when I was 22 years old, I set off on a quest to discover how the world's leading cause of sickness and death created the health catastrophe in my family that stole my father's life when he was just 47 years old. That was the first reason I began the quest. The second reason came into the world on July 23rd, 2009. Almost 20 years to the day since my father's life was taken. My wife and I were just short of our 45th birthday when our first and only child was born on that day, a son. To say it was a miracle is one massive understatement. No fertility treatment, we had stopped trying to have a child to deal with the possibilities of birth defects as we aged. And we were in the process of adopting a baby girl from China. My son was born at 11:25 a.m. on that day, and I swear on my life, I never viewed my existence the same again. It was like someone had flipped a switch, and I thought that the whole world had changed now that I was a father. I actually felt that way. I think there is something to be said about having your only child in your mid-40s. It impacts you so significantly. This was also the year I first started working with a PhD in exercise physiology from Sydney, Australia. The first time I'd ever reached out to someone of that academic credentials. Here was my thinking. Here's the question I had in my mind. What lies ahead for my newborn son when it comes to his personal physical health status and the risk of him being faced with the number one cause of sickness and death that took his grandfather's life, cardiovascular disease. 18 million people worldwide have a cardiovascular event and pass away each year. Another 18 million people per year worldwide have a cardiovascular event and survive temporarily. By the way, the second leading cause of sickness and death are cancer events. 8.2 million people per year die worldwide. My newborn son's grandmother, in 5 years from his birth, would be diagnosed with a cancer event and pass away 7 days after this diagnosis in hospital. My thinking was simple to begin with. How do I create a world for my son where he is at less risk from the two leading causes of sickness and death that he will be faced with when he becomes an adult that took the lives of his grandparents? How do I make certain that what I'm teaching to him works and creates true health adaptations at a physiological and molecular level to drive down the real risk of a cardiovascular event and a cancer event? That also I can prove this is with clinical-based evidence. Here's the big, bold question. How do I make sure he will grow in his deep knowledge about his personal physical health outcomes? And how does I encourage and create a situation where he will be deeply engaged to take action to improve his personal physical health status and have a linear correlation with driving down his risk of cardiovascular and cancer events? Now, I know there are other health components and other considerations, but here was the overall thinking. If you tackle the two biggest things that are causing sickness and death from a health perspective on a worldwide basis, they would cascade into improving other potential health problems. And that was true. So these outcomes were never pursued by his grandfather and grandmother.
They never fell in love with their physical health status. Mind you, the education system they lived through in the 1950s and the 1960s, plus their family life, they were not conducive to helping them have deep engagement or creating what I call deep knowledge about the new science of physical health. As I began to work my way into talking with and interviewing PhD after PhD after PhD from around the world, I quickly began to realize that the road ahead for my son in 2009 was a health catastrophe in waiting. The expert medical researchers proved to me time after time and time after time and again that when my son would become an adult, he was far more likely to be physically unhealthy and at high risk of the two leading causes of sickness and death than the opposite, which is at low risk of cardiovascular and cancer events. I began a conversation with a PhD in 2017 that changed my mind on what was possible in health and physical education, not just for my son, but for his friends and for anyone who is interested in this subject from anywhere around the world. I want you to meet Laureate Professor John Hattie, H-A-T-T-I-E, a professor of education and director of the Melbourne Education Research Institute at the University of Melbourne, Australia, since March 2011. He was previously professor of education at the University of Auckland in New Zealand and the University of North Carolina in Greensboro and the United States and the University of Western Australia. His research is called Visible Learning. Is the culmination of more than 25 years of examining and synthesizing more than, this is unbelievable, 1,700 meta-analyses comprising more than 100,000 studies involving 300 million students from around the world. Hattie wanted to understand which variables were the most important in helping people to be successful learners. Although, this is what he said, although almost everything we do improves learning, why not prioritize the ones that will have the greatest effect? That really was ringing my bell, by the way. This research was right in my wheelhouse. I began to dive into his work to see if I could use it to create a platform, not just a course, but a platform which would help people deep dive and fall in love with their personal physical health status. And that included children, teenagers, and adults, especially that group of people who were completely disinterested in their physical health status and their outcomes. I want you to hear this PhD in his own words about the subject of how you get people engaged in learning. How do you know what success looks like in learning? So inside the PE Health Lab, I apply it to physical health outcomes.
The operative word in that sentence you asked me was and. Learning intentions without success criteria, hopeless. Success criteria without having learning intentions is not as bad, not very good. One of the things that I like Shirley Clark from England's work in this area particularly is how you can construct those success criteria in terms of what students are supposed to learn, not what they're supposed to do. And one of the mistakes I see is so often you have a learning intention about what we're doing today. It's just not interesting. It's not about the task. Like, I go back to the examples I was using before. The best way of showing students what success criteria is to show them what an A looks like before they start. Show them what a B looks like. Show them what the end of the product looks like. Now, a lot of teachers I work with struggle with that because they think that what success looks like is what you achieve when you get to the end. And obviously, in our time-constrained world, the end means the end of a series of lessons. And we don't value efficiency. What would happen if the kids learned it earlier? Well, that's a bit of a problem for us in many ways. We have to adjust that time frame. I went to a school this morning, and I saw the second part of what I wanted to say on this, is I saw the students putting up success criteria before they started. They were doing their science work, and they were starting with what would success look like. Now, they struggled to know what that was. They needed a lot of help. That's why the teacher's there. But teaching the kids up front what it looks like when they get there. How do I know when they get there? Like, I go back to my sports analogy. If I said to you, I'm going to teach you what Australian rules football looks like, but I'm not going to tell you what the rules are, and I'm not going to tell you how to score, but I want you to go out there and play it. For many of you, you'd give up very quickly, particularly in a game like Australian rules. It just looks random. Unfortunately, for a lot of kids in our school, that's what learning looks like.
Okay, everybody, I'm going to insert myself here. This is not part of the introductory episode. I'm going to finish off today's episode of the Daily Drop. That's what I mean by insert myself here. We're going to pick up exactly where I left off there with Laurie, Professor Hattie, where I'm going to pick up on this theme of, well, what does being physically healthy from a medical point of view actually look like? How do you know when you've achieved it? How does a learner know? Whether that learner's a child, a teenager, or an adult. We'll cover that in part two of this episode tomorrow. Thanks for joining me, everybody. Back again to share more with the Daily Drop tomorrow. Bye for now.